and we won't be preaching on that. So, I'm so thankful to be a child of God, more than I'm a pastor, a wife, a mother, a daughter, a friend, a sister. The first hat that we all have to put on every single day is to make that decision that we're going to be a child of God. And that's not always easy, because when we say that we're His child, we give Him the right to come into our life and to make changes and to change us from the inside out. And change is hard and change is difficult. I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 90. We're going to look at verse 12 tonight. And I believe that God already knew who would be here in the service. And so I know that if He's changing messages, that I believe that God wants to minister to somebody. So, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single heart right now in the place. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single life right now in the name of Jesus. And God, nothing is too difficult for You. Lord, I thank You right now, Lord, that we walk in divine health. God, I thank You, Lord, for the hedge of protection that You've put over us. God, You would not allow us to be harmed in any type of way. God, I thank You, Lord, that You've preserved each and every single one of us. And God, that was for a purpose. And so, Lord, right now I tell You to have Your way in this service. God, You move how You want to move. Lord, You operate how You want to operate. And God, I ask You right now that Your word fall on good ground. Lord, I thank You that where there needs to be conviction, God, I thank You that conviction fall in this place. Lord, where there needs to be a healing, God, I thank You that healing is flowing through the bodies and the souls and the minds of Your children. And God, right now I speak to every empty seat in the place. God, if they've been offended, God, I ask that You would stir them, God. Lord, I ask You right now to bring people back, God, that were never supposed to leave, right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank You for it, God. Lord, I thank You that You hold us in the palm of Your hand. God, You won't let us go. Lord, I just give You everything right now in the name of Jesus. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12, it tells us, this is David, and he's praying, and he says, teach us. I want to ask you tonight, are you teachable? Are you teachable? Or do you know it all? Do you just think that you know it all? See, David is here, and God calls David a man after His own heart. And David is here, and he's saying, God, teach me, teach us to number our days aright. What does this mean? God holds your very next breath in the palm of His hand. There's so many people and they're saying, I still have time to get it right. You do. But when your last breath, when you draw it, your time is up. And the Word of God, it shows us through David's life where David says, God, teach me to number my days aright. Teach me to use all the time that I have here on this earth and to use it for You. And I encourage each and every single person in here, ask God, Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me how to use all the time that I have, God, for You. Teach me how to use it wisely. You know, I know people that they're saying, you know, my mama got it right when she was in her 40s, so I have time to get it right. You know what? You need to stop worrying about what your mama did, what this one over here did. We need to focus and get a hold of what God is trying to do in our life. In the book of Luke, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be overcharged. And I know that when we look at other people, we get the attention off of ourselves, but we should be more focused on what God is trying to do in our life, what He's trying to, the changes that He's trying to make in our life, because at the end of it all, when we get up there, we're not going to answer for anything else that's going on with other people. We're going to answer for what we did, how we conducted ourselves. So David is here, and he's saying, teach us to number our days aright, so that we may gain or get a heart of wisdom. A heart of wisdom. That heart of wisdom will protect you from making bad decisions, from speaking too soon. I believe that believers, like never before, they need to flow and operate in wisdom. Because the devil is working so hard to get believers away from Christ. And we see that all over the place, everywhere. I know people that have been pretty well born and raised in church and they've left God. And I just tell you right now, it's not the time to leave God. The Word of God tells us to be sober and to be vigilant, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. I challenge every person to sober up in every single way. In every single way. The devil will get you drunk on your problems. The devil will get you drunk on what somebody did to you. The devil will get you walking in offense. He will get you walking in guilt. He will get you walking in shame. And God has freedom for you. But see, the devil will keep you bound up. And I just declare over every single person in here, I just think that God wants people to be free. I see a lot of believers, and there's a lot of bondage in the hearts of believers. And see, God, He sent His Son that we wouldn't have to live bound, but a lot of people, they're saved, and they live bound up because of the things that they believe that the devil has said to them. And the devil will tell you every single thing. He'll tell you how awful that you are, how you made too many mistakes, how you're not good enough, how it's never going to be okay, how you're never going to be able to be okay again. But see, that's all a lie. Every single thing that the devil's telling you, none of it's true. Go with me to Luke right now, chapter 15. We are going to look at verse 11. We need to look in our lives and ask ourselves some very deep questions. One of those questions is, how is the devil trying to get me astray? How is the devil trying to get me astray? If you were the devil, what would you do to you to get you off course? It's different for every person. Is different for every person. But see, if you believe in heaven, you got to also believe in hell. If you believe in God, you got to also believe in the devil. And we need to know, what could the devil be trying to do with us? Anybody want to answer that? Pull us away? How can the devil, if you were really the devil, what would you do to you? What would it take for you to leave God? I don't even know what I'm going to say next. I'm just going to operate in God because I'm not even going for the message right now. I'm just asking you, if you were the devil, what would you be doing with you? What would you do? Because see, as a pastor, here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing believers, they've been saved for a long time. People have been raised up in God's house. See, it's one thing to come to know Christ later on in life, but it's another thing to be raised up in church and to make a decision to leave God. See, to me, man, I am ticked at some of the things that I've seen the devil do with some people. And it's made me sharpen up my pencil. It's made me meditate on, God, show me me. Show me me. Show me for every flaw that I have. Because you know what, Billy? I want to know my flaws because I know that the devil is, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I've seen him do it. I don't even want to talk about the world right now. I want to talk about this church, and I want to talk about what's going on right up in the church. I don't even care about what's going on at the church down the street. I want to talk about what the devil's been able to do right up here with the people that I head over. And I'm asking you tonight, I want you to search your heart. I want you to meditate. I want you to get alone with God and ask Him to show you who that you really are. Because, see, we need to ask God, Lord, teach me. Teach me to number my days aright so that I can gain a heart of wisdom. I'm not happy with what I've seen the devil be able to pull, the ways that the devil's been able to pull some people up out of church. There was a man that had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. You know, God has an order for things. And most of the time, an inheritance is something that comes as a result of a death. And God has an order. And God is a God of order. And this son was asking for something out of order. And what I see here, I see a lot of believers in this account. Because I see people trying to receive things from God, and it's out of order. It's out of order. And there's times where you keep on and you keep on and you keep on. God will allow you to go through a season of giving you what you thought that you wanted, when really, if you would have said, "God, I want what you want. God, I want what you want." I encourage you to understand that the heart is deceitful, and above all, who can really know it? Who can really know it? And sometimes we're asking God for something and God's telling us no, and we just keep on and we keep on and we keep on, and it's those things that we want that aren't what God has for us. And it says, not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. He didn't care what it took for his father to give him that inheritance. He didn't care what it took for his dad to have that wealth to give to him. Do you really care tonight about the inheritance that God made sure that you have? Do you care about it? Is it important to you? Does it matter to you what God's done for you? I believe that we're living in a society where people can't even feel anymore. Just people are numbed over, they're glossed over, nothing affects them. I ask people to sober up. Sober up. So he squandered his wealth in wild living, and after he had spent everything, you don't have to spend everything. Sin will cost you everything. It'll cost you. It's expensive. It said, after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. He began to be in need. And I think one of the things that God allows to happen with people when they won't just obey Him, He allows people to go through things where they find themselves in need. And this is where this son found himself. He's found himself in need. And when I was little, there was an old holiness pastor, and his name was Brother Autry Davis. And I remember going to his house. He lived down the road from us, and my dad would go over there, and he would come over to our house. And this was the good old days where them little Debbies were actually big Debbies. I mean, them things, that was back in the good old days. And I bought some cream pies the other day. How many of y'all like oatmeal cream pies? I love them things. I love them because they bring back a nostalgia of my childhood, because we used to go over to Brother Autry's house, and I would sit on the floor, and him and my dad would sit, and they would read the Bible for hours. I mean, hours. And I remember Brother Autry having oatmeal cream pies, and he would hand me one. And Jody's, Joe, them things were like this big. I bought some the other day, and they're like this big. And I was thinking, what has the world come to? They are just snatching things up, making everything smaller, and the costs go up. And one of the things that I grew up hearing my dad repeat that Brother Autry said, is he used to tell my dad, what you see God doing in someone's life, you treat them that way. See, some people are under the correction of God. Some people are under the blessing of God. The Word of God says, now you choose you this day. Do you want a blessing or do you want cursing? Do you want life or do you want death? And we choose every day. And what I have learned in my life is to not interfere with somebody that God is trying to correct. Because what I'll end up doing is I'll end up making that person go through a longer season of being under correction. And this son, he found himself in need. In need. And God allowed him to be in that place. And it says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. And what this scripture actually means is he got so in need that he went and he got a job. And he was hoping to be able to eat what the pigs were eating, but he couldn't even eat that. Verse 17. When he came to his senses, I believe that sin, so much of it gets you so intoxicated. And it gets you away from what we know is right. Our good senses, the thing that says, hey, you're doing something wrong. And the Word of God says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now the son didn't have to be off at all. He chose that. And the Word of God says that the father saw him from a far distance. I don't know where everybody's at tonight. What I know is that God sees you. Whether you're close to Him or whether you've been far off from Him, God sees you. And He sees you right where you're at. He sees you right in that place where you're not at your best. He sees you at the place where you're hurting. He sees you at the place where you're broken. He sees you at the place where you've been running. God sees us, and He sees us right where we're at. Go with me to Ephesians. Actually, let's go to Proverbs chapter 15. And I'm going to look at verses 31 through 34. And I actually liked this in the CEV version. When I can't understand something, I get on this app and I look it up. And I look it up in the CEV version because it's very, very plain. Proverbs chapter 15. And we hit on this a little bit this morning about being able to be corrected. And I can tell you that in my own life, I think we can all pretty much say this. Here's how I look at my life, Sophie. I've been through a lot of things. And I've had a lot of brokenness. A lot of it I caused myself. But when I look at life, what I see is there were things that I went through that I didn't have to go through. But because I would not just give God His way and just go with what He had for me, it took me longer. And there was times where I would run from Him and what He had. One of the things that we need to have flowing in our life really, really well is the ability to allow God to make changes in our life and to have God and allow Him to correct us. To correct us. So in Proverbs chapter 15 in verse 31 it says this, healthy correction is good. Healthy correction. Healthy correction is good. And if you accept it, you will be wise. You hurt only yourself by rejecting instruction, but it makes good sense to accept it. Yesterday I was with Coco, and y'all all know Coco. To know Coco is to love Coco. That little kid, I don't even know where they make kids like that. I mean, he is, next to my mother, he's the sweetest person I know. That child is just precious. And I was explaining something to him, and I don't know how y'all feel as a parent, but I'm going to go on probability. I want the best for my kids. I mean, when it comes to my kids, Brenda, they got the softest part of me. And when it comes to them, I want them to have the very, very best in life. But what I've learned, and I've learned it through my life, I've learned it through other people's life, is that people are going to choose what kind of life they're going to have. And you can't choose it for them. You guys that's got grown kids, I said you can't choose it for them. And that's hard. It's hard to take. But I was talking to Coco yesterday. And I don't know what has gone on with me, Christy. But something has changed inside of my heart, and I'm starting to think of my boys, and I'm realizing that I don't have, just in the big realm of life, I don't have just a tremendous amount of time longer with them where I'm going to have this much of an influence over their life. And there's been some things just over the past few months that I've backed away from with my own children because I want to give them room to see God and to see who God is. And I was talking to Coco and I said, Coco, take the good parts of me and your daddy. The things that you see us that we're good at, that we're successful at, the things that are right inside of us, take those things. I was talking to him about debt. He's 9 years old. But I began to talk to him about debt. We were talking about all this stuff. And I said, at the end of it, I said, Coco, do you believe that Mama loves you? And he said, yeah. And I said, why do you think I'm telling you this? And he says, because I know you just want me to have the best. Amen. To obey is better than sacrifice. To do what God wants you to do, the first time around, is always the best. But most of the time, people won't do it. I know many times I haven't. I didn't do the first time the right thing the first time. Maybe I didn't do the right thing the second time, the third time. If you're hearing this, there's still time. But how much time do you want to go through? I know people, they're still going through the same thing, and it's been 30 years. It doesn't have to be that way. Several months ago, somebody came to me. I've known this person almost all my life. And they said, Pastor Kelly, why do you think that my life is the way that it is? I almost dread when people ask me those type of questions because that's a loaded question. Because the honest to God truth is most of the time they'll get offended at the answer. So I said, do you really want to know? You've asked me what I think, but when I tell you, it's going to offend you. He said, yeah, I want to know. I said, well, one of the things that you never could get right is you could never be taught. You could never be taught. You wouldn't listen. I said, I grew up with you and my dad being your pastor. And now I'm your pastor, and you still have the same problems. This person was upset because none of their kids are in church. Well, they're not in church either. They said, well, why don't you think that my children won't go to church? I tried to raise them in church. Once again, I said, do you really want me to answer this question? Yes, Pastor, I do. Okay, it's going to offend the heck out of you. I said, every time you got offended at Brother Angelo, you went home and you sowed that seed into your kids. And I said, the Word of God says that when you smite the shepherd, the sheep are going to scatter. And I said, and what you weren't counting on was that the sheep that scattered was your own. I don't even know why I'm going through this. This wasn't even the message. I've got no idea. But what I'm telling you is this right here. Tomorrow isn't promised. It's just not. You can take this for a warning. You can take it for Pastor Kelly's on some weird kick and we don't know what she's got going on. Well, you know what? It could just be God's brought somebody in here to try to minister to them. I've learned in life, Bella, nothing is a guarantee except for God. That's it. That's it. There's been things that I've tried to count on, and they failed, and I thought that they were a for sure thing. But I can look at you in the face, and I can say, God has never failed. He's never failed. Why should we give Him everything that we have? Because He's never failed. Why should we give Him all of our choices? Because He's never failed. Why should we give Him our life? Because He's never failed. His track record is perfect. Why should we trust Him? Why should we say, God, teach me how to count my days, how to number my days? Because He has showed up in our life every day. Every day. Healthy correction is good, and if you accept it, you will be wise. You hurt only yourself by rejecting instruction, but it makes good sense to accept it. Showing respect to the Lord will make you wise, and being humble will bring honor to you. This has been the weirdest message I've ever preached, and it is what it is, Brother Sam. I'm going to sum it up with this. Don't count on tomorrow, count on today. There's something in your life and you know it ain't good, or you know it's not what it should be, don't go one more moment in it. Don't go one more second in it. If you say, well, Pastor Kelly, you don't know what I'm up in the middle of, God does. You may be in the middle of something that you say, I don't even know how I can get out of it. God does. You say, well, what do I need to do? Give it to Him. Honor God with it. Honor goes a long, long way with God. And I'm going to close with this right here. Many years ago, we bought these three houses over here. God began to teach me about honor. There was an old lady. We all knew her. We all fell in love with her. Her name was Barbara. And she was the peskiest old lady I've ever met. One time she came over here, the first time I actually met her, Sophie, she marched her little rotten little self over here. At that time she was just awful. And she marched over here. And I was minding my business, Joe, trying to get ready for a service. And she marched over here to tell me to not ever go to her house. Keep in mind, we owned the house because we bought it. Don't ever go to her house and try to get her to come to church. Look here. Billy, I hardly even invite people to church. Here's what I do. I will get right up beside them and I will preach them a sermon standing right there with them. I don't even got to mention church. Because you know what? When I get done with them, they're going to wonder, who is she serving? Am I perfect? No. God is. I don't sit there and try to push God off on people because God can sell Himself. God is the Alpha and He's the Omega. He doesn't need somebody trying to sell Him like a furniture store salesman. Barbara come over here. She said, don't you come to my house trying to get me to come to church. I said, I take it your name's Barbara. She said, yeah. I said, just pay the rent on time, Barbara. I won't come over there and bother you ever. Well, she just kept coming over here. And we kept loving on her. in the food ministry, it kept going, kept growing. And they got into the plans of the Manna Center. The Manna Center is just a walking testimony of what God can really do with a ministry and with a person that'll just say, God, you have the right to do anything that you want to do. Whatever God orders, He'll pay for it. That's what I know. And my dad had made her a promise. And the promise was, you can live in this house till you die. There was many times in the preparing for the Manna Center that I was asked, can we build it where that house is? One time, Jill, one time I got very, very close to just saying, yeah, y'all can, we'll move her, we'll have her go, and she can live somewhere else, and we can build it here. And I got alone with God, and God began to say, no, you're going to honor what your father promised her. And I said, well, God, I didn't promise her that, and I'm the pastor now. You can try to reason with God with why you think you're doing something right, but if it ain't right, it's never going to be right. And honor will go a long way with the Lord. And finally, I came to myself and I said, we can't build that there. Because we promised a little old lady that we would let her live there till the day she died. Well, I believe in 2023, she died on Thanksgiving morning. I remember the morning. I remember that morning Sherry texted me. She said, I just want you to know that Miss Barbara went to be with the Lord. And God spoke to my heart and He said, Kelly, because you've honored what you were supposed to honor, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless this ministry. I'm going to bless everything that you put your hands to because of one decision that you're going to honor me with, the one thing that I asked y'all to do with that house. Where does honor start? By keeping your freaking word. By keeping your word. What you tell God that you're going to do, you need to do that come hell or high water. You need to make it your goal that you're going to do God what you promised Him that you'd do. People have made promises to God thinking that they had tomorrow and they didn't. I'm going to ask you to honor God with everything that you've got. I feel a shifting going on. And I want people to be honoring God, making room for God. If you're running from God with some things, God's asking you tonight, He's asking you so humbly, stop running. I'm ready to meet you right in that place where you've been running. Now, Dad is so much better at stuff, some of this stuff, than I am. Dad, I want you to come up here and close this service however you feel like it needs to be closed.
I have to say that I felt something all day long. I'm just going to have a few words. What I've learned that I have to do. My name means messenger of God. God told me that. And I'm going to give you His message. I hope every one of us is here next week at this time. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. The word of God says this, Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears me knocking and then opens up, I will come into them. I hope everybody's here next week. I remember giving a woman, it was right over there many years ago, a word. It was a good word. And before the next Sunday came along, she got killed. I'm not saying that's happening. I don't know what's happening. This has just been a strange day to me. I believe somebody in here tonight, God is saying, I'm knocking at your door. What is he knocking for? I have no idea. It could be a million things. And I tell you what, I don't have to have anybody respond to this. All I got to do in the next minute to 2 minutes is say what God told me to say. You heard that expression, I'm just going to cover my butt. I know that's not kosher and churchy, but at least I'm going to cover my butt. I'm going to cover my butt tonight. Because what if it is and I didn't say this? God's speaking to somebody. I don't know who. God's speaking about something to that person. I don't know what it is. But God's saying this to somebody. I'm sure of this here. I'm trying to reason with somebody, speak to somebody. I don't know if it's a direction or a change of the heart. I don't know what it is. I don't even know. I'm not saying it's salvation. I'm not saying it's not. I don't know, but I've had it. There's something about this whole day, Kel. I don't know what it was. We're here, and I know what to do. If you want to respond to that and say, well, God's saying something to me. And if nobody gets up, be sure of this here. Don't worry about it. Because I'm not. But if God's talking to somebody, if God's talking to somebody's heart, and you know what God's saying, sometimes I just say, like I did this morning, just, you know who you are, what, just take care of God. Sometimes God calls people publicly. God's calling somebody publicly here tonight. It may be more than one. I don't know. But we love you. We will respect your opinion. If nobody responds to this word, we'll just rack it up that I just said something. But if somebody in here is feeling like God's been talking to me about something, if I were you, I'd stand up right now. And if you think for 1 minute that it would bother me whether or not somebody stood up, you don't know this old dude. It wouldn't have bothered me one diddly flip. Because God said it. And my sheep know my voice. I know his voice. Now, all of you come up here.